where are we hoping?
You're in Masechet Sanhedrin, Cafe Amud Aleph.
25A.
25A. We're learning this wonderful Mishnah about how to become disqualified, how to get out of jury duty, how to avoid still playing cards. Right, that was the first one. So we've done, we finished for the moment. We're going to come back to him, the dice player, in a little bit. But right now we've finished and we're moving on to the next. The next one mentioned in the Gemara. Malve Buvivet, person who lends on interest. Right? We know that it's forbidden to lend money on interest. If you do, like you're taking money that doesn't belong to you, right? You lend 100 shekel and you get back 110. Right? But lending on interest means I lend you 100 and you give me back 110.
But isn't now that both the lender
but so far it's easy to see from the lender, when the lender gives 100 and he receives back 110, that extra 10 is like theft.
Right.
Because he's got, although you agreed to give it to me, just like in the card game, depending on your hashkafa, although you agreed to give it to me, there's no legal ground for you paying the extra ribbit, the extra interest. So if you give interest to someone else, it's like theft in his hand. Right? The one who lends on interest, the one who lends and takes the interest, it's like he's receiving theft. Even there, there's no halachic grounds for you to take even that 2%. That 2% is not allowed to you. He says no. It doesn't matter what he says.
Right? Now, what is the halachic ground for the borrower?
So then we'll have to come on to the borrower. But so far, our Mishnah tells us the person who lends. We haven't got to a borrower yet. The Mishnah is only talking about lender. The Mishnah says the person who lends is like theft. Right? Like all the other cases in our Mishnah. He's got gezel, if you want to go that without hashkafa anymore. So now we're going to discuss that a bit further. Amar Rava. No Rava. Amar Rava. Love the Rubit Pasul Eidot. A love, who's a love? A borrower. So now Rava is adding something to the Mishnah. He's not just repeating the Mishnah and saying that the person who lends, he's now saying the borrower, the person who borrows on interest, is pasul from eidot, which is now more confusing. Because now, what's wrong with the borrower? What's he done? Right? The lender, we had a reason, right? Because he's now got theft. He's now taking someone else's money without permission. But the one who borrows, so maybe it was off, we can say that, but we have to find a reason. There's Rav Hashem, we're going to get a reason. But we have to, it's not so clear why the rabbi should say even the borrower should also be disqualified from Eidot. Right? And he says Eidot. You're disqualified from Eidot, then Kal Vachomer from a judge as well. So the Gemara first says, Vaha'anan, Tanan, Ba'al Mishnah said, Ha'anan, we said, Tanan, we taught in our Mishnah. Malve Buvivet, person who lends. The Gemara wants to challenge this by first of all saying, if you look at our Mishnah says Malve, person who lends on interest. If Rabbi was correct, then there wouldn't be any reason for our Mishnah to say the one who lends. Right? Our Mishnah should have told us this. Right? See the challenge? You understand the challenge? Do you understand the challenge?
Right, but I'm just thinking that
because our Mishnah says the lender. So if Rav is correct, why wouldn't our Mishnah have said it? Right, when it says lender, that's clearly excluding borrowers. Apparently, right, when you say the lender on in person who lends, then you're defining which person.
Should we go back to the actual Torah portion, where it says...
No.
Okay.
Because there's a different thing. Because one thing's a different rules of Averas in the Torah.
Uh-huh.
But we're not talking about different Averas. Right? A person who doesn't make a bracha, right? But there's lots of different Averas.
Okay.
Right. Here we're talking about the Mishnah's teaching us that specific types of Avera lead to being disqualified. So even though the Torah might say something else, the Torah is not talking about who's disqualified or not. The Torah is telling you who is forbidden to do that Avera.
Okay.
Here we're learning which Averas lead to disqualification. So that's the challenge. The Gemara says, wait a minute. Our Mishnah says clearly the lender. How can you now tell me it's the borrower? So we have to answer by saying Nilva. Instead of Malve, which is borrower, we say Nilva Haba'a B'Ribit. And Nilva then is a loan. A loan that comes along with interest. So read our Mishnah as saying a loan with interest is disqualified, which then gives you both sides of the loan. Right? If a loan with interest, as opposed to the lender or the borrower, the loan itself causes the party to that loan to be disqualified. Okay. Then Gemara says like this. Bar binitus ashidu be tre sahade. So Bar Benitus is the name of a person. Asidu Bey, there was testified against him, Trey Sahade, two witnesses. Two witnesses came along and testified against a chap called Bar Benitus. Chadama, one of them said, Kame Didi Ozif the Ribita. One said, he lent interest in front of me. Kame Didi. This one came in front of me and lent on interest. Bachadama le Didi Ozif Belibita, and the other one said he lent me money with interest. So two witnesses saying that he's a interest lender. Interestingly, you see here. Sorry, let's just get the end. Sala Rava le Barbitos. Rava pasuled him from being a witness. Like he lent on interest. So before we get to where the Gemara is going with this, Gemara is going to use this. It hasn't yet told us what this incident is going to show yet. But so far we see that Rava disqualified this person from being a judge or a witness because two people came along and testified that he lent money on interest. Notice that it's not the two people in the same case. Two witnesses. Two different witnesses came along. One said he lent me money on interest. The one said he lent money on interest. I saw him lend money on interest.
So the last one should be fine.
Okay.
Because he's testifying that he saw someone lend money on interest. The other one...
Yeah, but you've read ahead. Right.
Well, I'm thinking about in the past where it says people are disqualified if they're testifying against themselves because you can't testify against yourself.
Yeah, so we're going to get there. So far, the Gemara hasn't got it yet.
Oh, did we cover Rashi?
Not yet. So, Tom, so where are we holding? We're holding like this. Two people testify that he's disqualified. Okay. The Gemara now says, Vahar Rava hu da'amar lo ve'bu'ibit pasul legis. We just learned that Rava was the one that said a borrower is the one is also disqualified. So how can it be? No, Tov, let's carry on. Vahava le Rasha, and the second one, like Rabbi Yaakov says, is a Rasha. Why is he a Rasha? Because he admits that he took on interest. Right? He says that this guy lent me money on interest. Right, so who is sinning in that equation? Both of them. Both the lender and the borrower, the one who accepted the money and paid the interest, is also transgressing a Torah law. So this guy who comes along and says, Bar Benitos lent me money and charged me interest, he's a Rasha. Right, so he's not allowed to do that. Torah says you know an evil person, a Rasha, can't be a witness. So how can it be that Rava accepted the testimony of the guy who said he lent me money on interest? Surely we should disqualify him from giving testimony because he's a Rasha. Answer: Rava the Tame. Rava follows his own reasoning. Damar Rava, because we heard that Rava said elsewhere. Adam Karov et Sel Atzmo. A person is a Karov, is a relative to himself. Ve'ein Adam Meisim Atzmo Rasha. A person can't make himself a Rasha. He can't testify against, he's not accepted to testify against himself. When this guy got up and he said, he lent me money on interest, I paid him interest, and therefore this guy is disqualified from giving testimony because he's a person who lends money on interest. And I know because I borrowed from him on interest. So first of all, you might have said, but wait a minute, how can the borrower testify? He's also a Rasha, right? So the Gemara answers for Rava, and Rava holds it. Rava holds a Shita which says that a person's Karov to himself. What does it mean? It means that I can't testify against myself. I'm disqualified from testifying against myself. So if I say anything against myself, it's discounted. I can't make myself a Rasha. I'm not believed. Halakhically, I'm not believed because I'm considered to be a witness, as a relative to myself. And a relative, just like I can't say, I know for a fact that my brother borrowed on the interest. You can't say that, he's your brother. You can't testify against your brother, even if you knew. So that testimony we ignore. So just like you can't say your brother lent on interest, borrowed on interest, so you can't say that about yourself. I borrowed on interest. Can't be. You can't testify against yourself. We ignore that.
You can't testify against someone else either if you're involved in a case.
He's not involved.
He's basically saying that he...
No, there's simply
interest.
They're simply...
No, but you're a witness. You're a witness to it. You're not in this case. You're not judging him as for liability. It's an interesting point. You're not judging him liability. You're apostating him from Adolf. Right. But you're not. If you are in the case against him asking for the money back, he charged me on interest and I didn't realise and I want the money back because it's as thought. You can't testify against him. You need two other witnesses. But here, it's a good question. So here,
I'm just wondering.
What we did miss is the following point. You're right. You can't. You're allowed to testify against him, but you're not testifying in that case. But if I say now that I'm not allowed to testify against myself because I'm not believed, if I say I lent borrowed money on interest, I'm not believed. How can I be believed with that same testimony against him? I'm still a valid witness against him. I'm just not a valid witness against myself.
But there's a second witness.
Doesn't matter. So there should only be one witness. My testimony should, in theory, be disqualified now. I'm a Karov et Sel myself. I can't make myself a Rasha. Fair enough. But on the same reasoning that you're telling me I can't make myself a Rasha because I'm a Karov and a Karov can't testify in front of himself. So fine, so why don't you throw the testimony out completely and say, you're right. You're not a Rasha, but you can't testify. Because I can't accept the testimony. So the answer is that they halakhically called a... Pliga de Edut. You split the testimony in half. The bit about you, you ignore. And the bit about him, you accept. Right? It's the same as... We see it. We saw it elsewhere. I think we saw it with the men who were intimate with one another. And one said it was him, and he can't be a Rasha. How can he testify when he's testifying against himself? Right, that he was party to it. If he consented, right, he's also a Rasha. We said you can't testify against yourself. We said the same thing. Yeah. But you can testify against the other guy because you split the testimony. You're right. The bit about yourself, we don't accept. But the fact that you can testify about someone else, we do accept. Even though in that same testimony, we're believing that it's true regarding him, but we're not believing it, it's true regarding you. Right, so when I say I borrowed money from him on interest, I don't believe it's true regarding you, but I do believe it's true regarding him. Yeah? You hear that halachic knife that slides straight down the middle of those words. Shalom. Shabbat Tov. Kapei. Amud Aleph. About halfway down. No, yeah, halfway down. Okay. Tov. So that is right. So that is the conclusion of. So what are we saying? We're saying a person who lends on interest and a person who borrows, according to Rava. Now it might just be that Rava has a different. We're going to see later on. The Gemara is going to come to. We didn't come to the reason. Why is it that that Rava holds even a borrower? Right, we said the lender's understandable. The lender makes sense. He's got Gezel in his hands. But what did the borrower do? Right, so he did an Aveira. But so what? It's not relevant to a court case. To give money on interest doesn't mean that I'm any way suspect of not being a truthful individual to judge a case or to be a witness. Right, I did an Aveira. Alright. So Rava holds. Let me just check that it is Rava that holds it before I tell you that. Even according to Rava. No, so Todd, it's different. So there's, we can't say it in the name of Rava, but we can say it in the name of the Gemara. The Gemara holds later on that there's a machloket between who is disqualifying from being a witness. Is it because they're involved in theft, like we said, or is it because they did an Aveira, a Doraita? If you transgress the Torah, there's a view we're going to see later on, that any transgression of Torah hostles you from being a witness. Anything. Which is quite tough. But that's it, we're talking about the old days when people actually used to keep Torah. Right? Those good old days. When people will keep Torah, right? And any Aveira would mean that you're not qualified because you can't be trusted. Right? If you keep the Torah, you keep the Torah. Choose not to keep the Torah, well, can't believe you, right? You're not going to keep the Torah then. Why should I make you a witness? Why should I make you a judge? I can't rely on you. I can't trust you. So there's a view that we're going to see in the next staff, that it's anyone who breaks any Torah laws, he's forbidden. It's not like by accident, right? Someone who deliberately does it. So someone who borrows on interest, for sure knows. He'll take a case where he knows, not where he didn't know, he didn't never learn halacha. But if he knows that he's not allowed to do that, and he still does it. So, according to that shita, although it doesn't work with Rava, because Rava argues against that and says that's not true. So we still don't know, we don't have a reason here why Rava, let's have a look at Rashi, we don't have a reason here why Rava says even the borrower. According to the one who says any Torah of transgression, it would make sense. Lo ver beribit pasul eidot. The Kaimalam Hamalve Vahalove Ovrim Lotase Kevan de Chimud Mamon Ah Me Aveiro Aldat Avele Kurasha Katam de Ove Nami Al Lotase If Me Chimud Mamon. Ah, so the reason why, okay, so like this, so Rashi gives the reason why even a borrower is forbidden from being a judge. It's because the reason why he borrowed on interest is because he loves money. He loves money so much that he was willing to transgress Hashem's Torah to get his hands on something. Can I ask you to sit on this one? Then I can just be running up hand better. That's okay. Ah, the fan. Oh, so fine. Okay, no, so you stay. I'll go, just go. Fine. Musical chairs. So the reason why even a borrower is, because we said even a borrower, the reason why he transgressed the Torah to borrow money on interest when he knows he's not allowed to, is because Tov, money was more important. I want the money. I want that 1,000 shekels because I want to... Tov, you could say he needed to do it to eat and pikuach nefesh, but we're not talking about those cases. We're talking about cases where he borrowed money because he wanted to do a business deal. He wanted to make some money. He's borrowing money on interest. Right? If you needed money, you could probably go for food or whatever. You would probably go to the gemach or the rab or whatever. But here we're presumably talking about commerce. Right? So someone who borrowed money on interest, the money was more important, and therefore we see that their mind, at least in financial matters, is warped. Right? That they place desire on money, and that can therefore override their, so they could be bribed, for example, or their
thinking point. You have such a lust for money that you're addicted to it.
Right.
Wealth, it's twist.
It's what?
Wealth, it's like a different word to twist. The mind is...
Nachon. Or I've got such a heshek that maybe I could be bribed easily, I'm not trustworthy. But for the same reasoning, we also see Rabbi hold that also applies to a borrower. As well as the lender. Lender clearly wants to make money. Right, which is why he's lending on interest and transgressing Torah in order to do it. Even the borrower is only doing it, usually only doing it if it's commercial, because he thinks he can make money from it. I'm gonna borrow at 2% because I've got a business deal that's gonna make me 10%. If it is right, but then you're right, so then you could be something else. But here, presumably, we're not. That's not the derech of the. So what Rashi's talking about, it's kuach nefesh, you need food for Shabbat, you have to borrow. But it's not the usual way of where loaning money on interest comes in. Can be, but it's not the usual way. The usual way, we're talking commerce. Because if you needed it for other money, you should just go to,
Tanke Shabbos, Gamachs. Even gemachs for opening a business.
Because really, if it was bikuach nefesh that you needed food for start, you shouldn't loan on interest even for Shabbat. If it's bikuach nefesh, you're allowed to break the laws, right? You can break and buy money on interest, whatever, because it's bikuach nefesh. But if it's not bikuach nefesh, you just, right, you've got a few crackers for Shabbos and you actually like to have a nice piece of steak. So you're not allowed to do that. Right? Rabbi Akiva says, make your Shabbos chol and don't rely on briyot and other people. And you're not allowed to do that. There's things you are to the kuach nefesh, but then we're not talking about the kuach nefesh. Here we're talking about rashayim who are breaking the Torah for financial gain, not because they're breaking the Torah because they have to and that's allowed.
You have savings account.
Yeah.
Invested. You're getting 5% interest on it.
Yes.
And someone tells you don't break it. It's better for you to take a loan in the bank because the interest in the bank now is much lower than the 5% you're making. So don't use your money, take a loan.
Okay.
So that's
depends. It depends if it's taking it from a Jew on interest, for sure you can't do it. If you're taking money from a Jew on interest.
Jewish bank.
So banks are a whole different question. Banks, there's what's it called? Prosbol and right and Heter, right, to do it. And different views that the bank's not really Jewish. It's not owned by a Jew. It's a corporation. Corporation has shareholders and no one owner. And so there's different views on that. But if it was just Jews, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that. Even if it's costing you money, saving you money, it's a good deal, right? You can't do it.
That, for example, would be like the State of Israel bonds.
The State of Israel is not a Jew either, according to that. and who you're taking the money from as well. Depends. Only if the bond, if they actually pay you back. Usually the bonds are sold on the market and you're selling to another buyer, you're not selling back to the state. They're redeemed at the end of their life, maybe. Okay. Top. So that explains Rava. Right? We understand now. But there is this other shita that any avera, but we'll come on to that. But so far Rava's going with the Mishnah, which is listing monetary people who are so caught up in money that they are not valid witnesses.
Well, the next one's a doozy.
A doozy. Hahu tabacha. There was a tabacha. Tabacha.
Okay. So, slaughter.
A cook.
Okay. Butcher.
Ish tabach shema.
You also said butcher.
Butcher. It was a butcher. What happened? So this has never happened.
It's a cook or butcher?
Butcher. Butcher is a shochet.
Slaughter.
Slaughterer, yeah, but we don't use the word slaughter. Slaughter
means usually. Not tabach. Not cook.
Nochon. But the Gemara uses tabach as a.
Slaughtery.
Yeah, the butcher.
Yes.
Tabach is also a cook. Top in
Monday. But it's not a shochet, it's like a retail butcher.
No, it could be a shochet.
Okay.
Hahu tabcha. There was a butcher. The ishtakach that was found, the nafka treifa, that he was giving out treif meat, mitote yade, from his hands. It was a butcher, a Jewish butcher, found to be giving out treif meat. Never heard of that. Can't be. But apparently, such a thing the Gemara is talking about. Butcher giving out treif meat. Pasula Rav Nachman va'avrei. Rav Nachman disqualified him. Why? He doesn't appear to be one person listed in the Mishnah. He wasn't racing pigeons. He wasn't playing with dice. Why is this butcher, who, for sure he's done the Avera, but then so do lots of people. Why is the butcher disqualified? According to Ashita. According to our Hashkafa, our reasoning, the one that we've been talking about, the reason. He's doing it for the money, right? Right? So he's doing it for the money. So a person who transgresses according for the money, so he falls within this category. He's transgressing Torah because he's doing it for the money, right? And therefore, anyone who's doing it, who's breaking Torah, flatly breaking Torah, so if he breaks Shabbat, whatever, has none. It's not a monetary issue, right? You turn the lights on Shabbat doesn't necessarily mean you can't be a judge. You might not want to mention, but not disqualified. Right?
He did it in.
But if
not
he did
purpose.
It, but if you did it for money, here he did it for money, right? And it's a financial gain which is disqualifying him from Eidut and from being a judge. Not the fact that he made an Avera or caused other people to make an Avera. It's the fact that he did it for money.
It's been too tame.
I think it means from out of his hand. Tote yade.
The speaker about Dayan, Beit Din Shel Torah, right?
Yes.
Not speaker of the Supreme Court, Aaron Barak. So if somebody in purpose, Michalel Shabbat,
yeah.
For sure can be Dayan.
Why not?
Beit Din Torah?
Why not?
How come?
What makes him disqualified?
Din Torah, it's about to keep the Torah, not?
Maybe.
Beit Din. We're talking about the court of the Ottoman regime and the mandate of the British.
We're talking about all Beit Din. All Beit Din. You can have a Beit Din of three people who you go to annul your vow, right? A shvua, or for top any other. Here, I lend you money. You didn't pay me back. So we need a Beit Din of three people to see. So we take three people, three judges. Okay, one of them doesn't keep Shabbos. Does that mean that he can't judge between you and me and who gave me money? Why not? He's a clever guy, yeah, he's very smart, he knows he's very... Don't know, I'm saying question. There's an argument in the Gemara where the only these things in the Mishnah only listed dice player, pigeon racer, Shviat Gathera, then it would be easy to have a Mishnah that says anyone who breaks Torah, but it doesn't say that. We're going to see later on, there's a view, there's an opinion, Machloket, anyone who breaks Torah. But it's not both sides. Only one side says that. The other side says no. It's not one of the things listed in the Mishnah or one of those that are similar to it, because it's financial.
And it's very obvious here that Chilul Shabbat here, it's in purpose and not in mistake.
Oh, yeah. We're here, this one's a trade meat.
No, what we mentioned, even.
We haven't got there yet. Don't know when we come to it. So here, the trade meat seller, right? So he was disqualified. Rav Nachman passed Leiv Avrei. He hustled him and took him off. He removed him from his. Here he removed him from being a butcher. What happened? Azal Rabbe Manzie Batufre. Apparently, what that means, I don't understand half the words. He went, that I got, and he grew his hair and his fingernails. Right, that was a sign of
Shuvah.
He wandered round. When a person does tshuva, so they don't look after themselves. They're upset. They don't start looking after their appearance. And he was doing tshuva. He grew his fingernails long, didn't bother cutting them. Grew his hair long, didn't bother cutting his hair. So apparently, it's a sign of tshuva. Savar Rav Nachman la'ashkor la'ach. Shore, Rav Nachman thought to bring him back, to reinstate him. Amale Rava, Rava said to Rav Nachman, Dilma I arome ka ma'arim. Maybe he is deceiving to do this. He did it, maybe he's doing it only so that you put him back in his job and people can carry on buying meat from him, right? How do I know it's real teshuvah? Looks like teshuvah, but you don't know if he's really made teshuvah or not. So we have an answer. Ela mai tekatane. So what then is his remedy? Right? If he can never be believed to do teshuvah, right? Because I'm never going to know if he's doing it for genuine reasons or he just wants to get his job back. How do I know? How is he ever going to have a takana, a remedy?
What's the remedy?
Tikkun. Could Rav Idi Ba'avin? So the answer is like Rav Idi Ba'avin. The Ma Rav Idi Ba'avin. Rav Idi Ba'avin said like this. Hachashud al treifot. Ein lo takana. Person who is suspected of treifot, right, like this butcher, does not have a takana. Add until sheyelech lemakom she'ein makirim oto, until he goes to a place where nobody knows him. Vayachzir, and over there in that place where nobody knows him, vayachzir aveda b'davar chashud, and he returns a lost object of importance, of value, or sheyotzei treifa mitachat yado b'davar chashud mishelo. Right, or so he goes to a place where nobody knows him, and what happens over there, he returns a lost object of value, or your say treifa mitachat yado, or he takes out treifa from his own hands, the davar chashuv mishelo, of something that's important to him, of a value, right, meaning considerable value. So what's he done? He goes to a place where he's not known, and in that place he either returns a valuable lost object or he gives up valuable meat from himself, from his own pocket, from his own larder, as being traded.
It's not traded, but it's identical.
No, he declares as treif valuable meat in his own possession. He went to the market, and he bought a nice fat juicy steak for Shabbos. It cost him a lot. And he comes back home and he says, and he hears that the guy who he just bought it from is suspect of trefut. He said, you know what? I'm not taking this. And he gives it away as treif. Gives it to the dogs. He does whatever you can do with treif. Throws it in the bin. Then we accept that he did tshuva. Why do we accept that he did tshuva in those two cases? Right? Why not he goes to another place and he...
He's overcoming his desire for money. Showing that.
Right, he's showing that he's right, gives back a valuable Shabbos Aveda, which he didn't have to do, he could just kept it. Or gives out treif meat, which should have had value, throwing away his own property. He doesn't have to. So why did he have to go and do that somewhere other place? Why can't he do that in his hometown?
No one will believe him.
He might be doing it in his hometown just so that people take him back and take him back. But in the place where no one knows him, he's got no reason to do that. Okay, that's how we make it. Then we accept his teshuva. Right, you asked the other day, Rabbi Yochum, how do we know? So that's one of the ways of knowing, according to Rabbi Idi Bar Avin, as to how you know someone's made teshuva. Oh, maybe we can learn for our own teshuva process. We find things in our digging around that we need to make teshuva on.
Getting back to why he's classified in this is because, as you say, because of money.
Yeah.
He's basically stealing from people, saying that treif, which is a lower value meat, is kosher which is a higher value meat.
Yeah, fair.
Making the difference.
Right, right. So the extra value in his hand is like gezer. Yeah, fair. Very good. Okay. In the footnote over here, it tells me that later on the next staff, the Gemara goes into how a person makes teshuva. And over there, it doesn't say that you have to go to another town. So the Gemara over here asks, it brings a different poskim that asks why over here he needs to go to a different town. But we see later on in the Gemara, when they make teshuva, they need to do stuff to show that they made teshuva, but they don't have to go to another town to do it. So the answer is that here, because it's a case of selling treif for meat, we want to be more certain. Because other people, if they, when they appear to make teshuva, we're going to see like the dice player that breaks up his dice. So we trust him. Right? We don't need him to go to another town where no one knows him and then break up the dice. We just trust him. But here in the case of someone who sells treif for meat, it's easy for him, so to speak, to come back and do what he was doing again. Right? To sell treif for meat, he did it before, he could do it again. Right, and therefore, in order to protect the public, maybe, and protect him, to believe him, we need a higher level of tshuva than we would do for someone else. Someone else who shows by some action that they've made tshuva, we would trust them, like the dice player who breaks his dice. So we trust him that he's actually genuine. He could be lying, but we give him the benefit of the doubt. But with the butcher, we don't give him the benefit of doubt. Could be lying, it could be true, it could actually be making teshuva. He's in his hometown and he found a valuable piece of property and he gave it back. Maybe he really did make teshuva. But we don't give him the benefit of the doubt because we're worried that in the case of selling treif meat, it's easy to do that again. And we want to make sure that he's not going to do that again.
Well, not only that, but people that buy the treif meat and have been told that it's treif meat, they're in for a major loss because they have to either re-kosher all their pots and pans and also throw out their dishes.
But they could sue him for the loss. If it's found that he was selling treif meat, they could take him to Beit Din and make him pay for the loss he's caused.
Seems to me that we should learn more about a person when they're used to a new place where people don't know him. What's the benefit? He's going to a new city.
Yeah.
People don't know him.
Right.
So they don't know that he was a sly. We're afraid that he would be like a sly person that doesn't do this honestly, but people know him.
Yeah.
Your people don't even, may not even know why he's doing this.
No, but what we're saying is he doesn't need to prove to them that he's a good person. They'll believe him anyway. He's just a new guy in town. So the fact that he does something...
It would be very easy for him to open a butcher shop and do what he did before.
But he could do that anyway.
Right.
He can do that anyway. We can never stop him from doing that.
Right.
But here, if we want to accept his tshuva, we see that he does tshuva in a new place. So we can accept it. Just if we want to accept his tshuva. We're not stopping, we're not here trying to work out how we might make sure that he doesn't open new butcher shops again. It's the question of the tshuva, how we believe his tshuva. Can we believe his tshuva here, or do we have to wait? Do we have to him, we have to wait. Wants to make sure we have to go somewhere else.
I mean, the second someone in a new city finds out that he had a bad business there, they would stop buying money.
Maybe. Maybe.
Tshuva or not.
Well, not only that, but the kosher certified organizations will immediately ask anyone who wants, say, certification, you know, what's your background?
And they do now.
There was a very famous story in Monsi, somebody that, and now he's here.
Are you selling meat there?
No.
Oh.
I heard the story where he had to.
Yeah, he was everybody was trusting him.
This guy didn't lie. He was Basar Basar.
Basar Basar?
The bet wasn't Basar Kasher, it was Basar Basar.
Ah, Basar Basar instead of Kasher.
He said, I never wrote them, I swear that it was kosher, it just was Basar Basar. Basar is like just the chaf in the bet, one little letter, and the shuk shuk.
Right. Top, maybe. Anyway, Tosh, so that's that. Let's move on to our pigeon flyers. Mafriche Yonim, people who fly pigeons. So what is it? So Gemara wants to know, what is this? Like the Mishnah didn't explain, it just said pigeon flyers are disqualified, and we didn't know when we were reading the Gemara what we were talking about. But now we're going to find out. My Mafriche Yonim, what are these pigeon flyers? So we have two opinions. Hacha, Targuma, here, meaning here in Babel. Talguma, they translate, they interpret it. E tik deme yonach liyon. E tik deme, if you will confer your yona to the liyon. Yonach liyon. So here, if your pigeon arrives before my pigeon, right? In tikadech yonach liyon. If your pigeon comes first to my pigeon, Leon. Right? They're waiting pigeons. Whoever comes back first, we both let them go. They fly around for a bit. Whoever comes back first wins. And they sit there making noises. Maybe they've got clackers or whatever. Come on. Right? I've trained my birds that they always come back. I train mine better, let's bet and see who comes back first. Right? Anything. Two flies walking up the wall, see who gets to the top. Right? Anything. Right? Two yonas racing each other. Who's going to come back first? Tom, that's one opinion. That's what they say in Babel. Shalom Rav Svi. Tov, Rabbi Chama Bar Oshea Amar, Rabbi Chama Bar Oshea says, yes, he was in Israel. Maybe. He says, Ara. That's Ara. Oh, Rabbi Yosef. Efa Ita.
Ichi de Argentina.
Oh.
Yeah, Yom Hulel Shurabash.
Yeah.
Ben Ichi.
Tishim, wow.
Tishim. 9 years old.
Young guy. Now, what? Tov, we are. Do you want to learn with us a little bit? Oh, you've got your own book. Tov, we're in Cafe Amud Aleph, it's an engine. Anyway, so what are these? What are these? Rabbi Chama Bar Asha says different ara. He says they're what the article calls a decoy. Pigeon decoy. What's a pigeon decoy?
What is decoy?
He gets other pigeons to come. He steals other pigeons. Oh. How does he do that? He opens. He has a pigeon coat, a box of pigeons, and he opens the door, and so his pigeons don't fly out. He ties a string to their leg, but they jump up and down, flapping and squeaking. And that attracts other pigeons who see what's all going, what's all that fuss about. And they come down and they fly in to have a look what's going on. Oh, this looks nice, what's in here? And then, thank you very much. So, people who do this, it's an easy way to get business, right? You're not doing anything illegal. If they don't belong to anyone. Right?
But if they do, then it's theft.
If they do, that's theft. But here, we're back to Ki'ilu Theft. Right, you're taking something that doesn't belong to you. Because yeah, tell us, when he came to me, I didn't walk into someone's house and take his pigeon. Pigeon was flying around, saw my dove coat, wanted to join the party, and he came to me. It's not my fault. Right? So we don't allow those people to be joined. So they're the two different opinions. But the government wants to say, wait a minute. What about that one who said that it's the first case? The case that if your pigeon comes first before mine, why does he say not like Ara? So we hear Gemara occasionally does this. Gemara gives two opinions. One person says, right, we have a question, like a classic case. The Mishnah says something, we're not sure what the Mishnah means. One Amora interprets it this way, says it means this. He's talking about apples. And the other Amora says, no, he's talking about pears.
So what?
Pears. Tapuchim v'agasim. Chadama lo, it's tapuchim. Chadama no, agasim. So the Gemara wants to know, asks one against the other in different ways. You could ask, well, why do you say that and why do you say that? But the Gemara asks it a different way. It's quite a common way of asking the Gemara. Gemara says, the one who says apples, why did he say pears? And the one who said pears, why did he say apples? Doesn't ask him on his own reasoning. It asks him on why he didn't choose the other way. Because often, I haven't got a reason why apples is particularly good, but I haven't got a reason why it can't be pears. And the pear guy says, I haven't really got a reason why it could be pears, but for sure I can tell you why it sure can't be apples. So that's why the Gemara says in that way, because then you can see the reason why you didn't go. So the Gemara says, the one who says the first opinion, that it's a case of racing pigeons, one against the other, who comes back first. Why didn't he say, like, number two, that it's a pigeon decoy? Amala, the reason is he can tell you, Ara mifnei darkei shalom ba'alma. The reason that we don't allow people to do decoy pigeons, right, to steal other people's pigeons, so to speak, or to is darkei shalom. It's only a question of shalom. It's not a question of theft. Darkei shalom. You're right. It's not nice to do it. And out of darkei shalom, we say you shouldn't do it. But if someone did it, we don't disqualify him from being a judge or being a witness. Because it's not a question of theft. He didn't steal anything. Right? Birds are out in the open, they're free for all. If you see a bird on the floor, you can have him for lunch. There's no. He's not got a tag on his leg. He's not got a collar. like your cat, right? Saying this belongs to, and please return to. Right? He's a hefka. A bird in the open is hefka. If you fail. So according to that reason, it's not fair. Nothing wrong with finding a bird and eating him for lunch. Right? Because it's not fair. Doesn't belong to anyone, it's hefka. Right? Therefore, you're right. To do this as a living, so to speak, to do this systematically, to take people's pigeons, it's not right, because they're presumably at some point they're going to belong to someone else. Right? There's enough pigeon owners that you're taking their pigeons. They're not all wild. So we don't, in the interest of peace, it's not a good thing to do. You're going to upset the other guy who's going to see what you're doing. He's going to see that his pigeons are depleting in numbers and your one seems to be increasing very nicely. He's going to get upset with you. Doesn't know if they're his or not.
So can he take you to the best in
no.
theft?
Don't know it's yours. If you tagged its foot, said, if found, please return to. So fine. It's a question of Shava Saveda now. Just like any other lost object. If you found a cat with a collar around its neck, says, please return to. It's Shava Saveda. You've got to give it back. And if you don't, you take it to Beit Din for taking your money, taking your property. Or for whatever. Theory. Shabbos Aveda. But so here it's not a fest. It's just okay, shalom. It's not nice. You're right, it's not nice. We don't allow it. But it's not a fest. That's why the guy who said it's racing pigeons says it can't be decoying pigeons. Because for sure, decoying pigeons, I agree we don't allow it. It's frowned upon. But we don't disqualify you from being a judge on the grounds of that. It's not one of those cases. So that's why he didn't say that one. Right? And so now the other way. Umanda Amar Ara, the one who said it's a pigeon decoy, why didn't he say, my tama lama itik deme yona yona
le pigeon decoy?
Someone who does by arima to take pigeons by deceiving, by pretending. Yeah. So why did the decoy one didn't say like the first one that it's a pigeon racer? Amala, he'll tell you, Hainu Masachet Kubia, because it's the same as Masachet Kubia. We've already got that example in the Mishnah. It can't be that the Mishnah is telling us the same thing twice. There's no difference between playing dice and racing a pigeon. It's the same thing. So, according to him, can't be racing pigeons. Top. We're now past 10. So let's stop there and we'll see why it might still be racing.
But here's some gambling with the pigeons.
Yeah, yeah. Here's a case of he owes a pigeon, you owe a pigeon. You say whichever one comes back first pays the other the gambling. Who see who comes first? Who check on?
There is
first one who comes back.
Then there's the third.
Even in those days, there was a custom, so-called custom, and football. When the team is not successful,
yeah.
So they are taking white dough,
oh, yeah?
For luck.
Oh, yeah?
מכריחים יונים למזל שהקבוצה תצליח.
They do that now?
Last year, something.
You saw that?